Hey everyone, welcome to New Every Day. I'm Lawrence Cruz.
And I'm Jeff Weston.
We have an exciting show for you today. It's Talk Back show for New Every Day. And stay tuned, we got some great questions that you're going to want to hear the answers to.
This is New Every Day with Jeff Weston and Lawrence Cruz.
I'm Jeff Weston.
And I'm Lawrence Cruz.
And it's a talkback show. Woo-hoo. I like these talkback shows. They're good because it gives you the opportunity to connect with us with the questions that have kind of been burning in your back pocket and you just want to know the answer. Maybe it's not going to be the answer you want to hear based on some of the questions that have come in. Maybe it's the answer you're looking for and you need to reaffirm something that you've known in the past. Or maybe you just don't have a sweet clue and you're going, hey, somebody enlighten me. But the thing that we want to mention is that we are not the experts on this. These are our opinions. We have gone to scripture. We've gone to some authorities on these topics and we're relaying our thoughts on it. But as always, we want you to test this to scripture. So whatever answers we give, we kind of put it back on you to say, you've asked a question. Mm-hmm. We've given you an answer. Now you need to go back to the Bible and say, does that line up?
For
and
sure.
Were Jeff and Lawrence kind of stringing me a line, or is this legit? I like to think that we're legit.
Oh.
Too legit to quit. But.
Okay, you went there. You just beat me by a fraction. I can hear it, man. Yo. Anyway, we'll go there. I'm so sorry.
Anyway, so we've got these questions. They came in from you. From Facebook, from YouTube, from email, even some conversations. People who've watched the show locally that are like, hey, I got a question for
you. Yeah, how about that?
Yeah. So now.
And it may just be that you'd like to add something to the answers that you hear. Send those
yes.
in too. We'd be delighted to give you credit.
Yeah.
And say, oh my goodness, this was an amazing answer.
Or, that's right.
Or can you believe what this? No.
That's right.
No, send them in. It'll be great.
Okay, we are going to hop right into it. We got a question coming in from Sue. Actually, it's more of a comment from Sue from Kingston, Ontario. And Sue didn't ask anything. There was no question attached. It was more so a comment. But I think the question becomes silenced of, is this a correct statement? Okay. I would add on to the end. So she says,
okay,
if I keep messing up and God always forgives me, I don't have anything to worry about. And I have heard that similar statement many times. If God's about grace and forgiveness, then I could do whatever I want because I'm forgiven anyway.
Oh, okay. I see.
And I think that's kind of the statement that's being made. And so the unspoken question is that correct?
Yeah.
So Sue, we're going to try and answer your comment. And the short answer from my opinion would be no, that's not correct. You do have something to worry about. And a while ago, several weeks ago, we did an episode on everything is permissible, not everything is beneficial. I believe it's 1 Corinthians 12 verse 6 or 6 verse 12, I think. 1 Corinthians 6:12.
6:12.
Yeah, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. And I think that verse is the key to addressing your comment, because at the end of the day, yeah, you can live your life as you choose, but is that in line with the way that God has asked you to live? Is it in line with scripture? Could you go out and be a druggie on weekends? Sure, it's your life, but is that what's beneficial? Is that going to bring you closer to God? Is that going to enhance your relationship? And I would argue no, it doesn't.
Well, that's interesting, Jeff. I love it. I keep messing up and God always forgives me. I don't have anything to worry about. I'm just reading it going, well, thank you for that. I love it. Great comment. Appreciate it. Next. Like, it makes me wonder, is it just a statement of, you know, there's another way to take it. Like, I think I love how you interpret it. I'm going, hey, great. You keep messing up. Well, thanks for your confession. And guess what? You're in good company because Jeff here. I mean, no, listen, we are experts. at messing up. And if this is you saying God always forgives me and you've got a handle on his grace that he loves you,
yeah,
and it's not, there's nothing you can do that's going, well said, I'm with you, like,
see,
right?
Like, that's the two sides of the statement. Now I'm sitting there going, I'm just the negative guy. No, he's the positive guy.
Well, hey, but I love it. And you know what, Jeff? The reason why there was a long time where I didn't get that. I needed to know about the incredible grace of God. Because, you know, I think God, well, now I know he was more forgiving of me than I was of myself.
Yes.
And even this year, I've had someone say to me, Lawrence, don't be so hard on yourself. Thanks for your confession, by the way. We all do mess up. I'm pretty good at doing it all the time.
Yeah, he is.
But yeah, right.
I am too.
You know, and but the great news is I am forgiven by God, and his grace has got me covered. And I thank God for that. And there's nothing that I have to worry about. And I mean, there's other portions of the Bible that say Lawrence. Like, in my translation, it has my name right in it.
Right.
Yours has, no, it doesn't, but you get it.
I know that.
Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and asking, petition, right? Present your request to God. And the peace of God that passes all of your understanding, Lawrence, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In other words, don't worry, be happy, because his grace covers it. Well, if that's what you were getting at, if it was a statement, Sue, that you're... then praise the Lord. I agree with you totally. Of course, the Bible does talk about those who abuse the grace of God and use it as a license to sin.
Right. And I think that's where my thought process...
Well, for sure. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, equally valid because... And it makes me more like, I mean, who knows? Sue, I can't possibly know where you were coming from on there, but we would do our best to address both sides, right?
Yeah. And I think we did at the end of the day.
All right,
you know,
then.
But I guess the thought at the end of the day is, why chance it?
Yeah.
You always want to be living your life to the best you can within the way that God has asked you to live in Scripture.
Well, and this is it. It's like my marriage. If my wife asks me to do something or to not do something, if I willfully just go, well, she's going to love me anyway, so who cares what she says? Come on, let's go. And then I just, you know, on purpose, ignore what she wants. Hmm. Like that gets old real fast.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
That's not loving.
No, and that's going to put you in the doghouse.
Yeah, well, that's right. That's right. She's gracious, but she's not God.
That's right.
Well, I'm feeling scared right now. We should change questions.
Okay. All right. So this one, when it came in, I kind of went, ooh, I don't know. So that's the preface to this question, and it is... from Nomi in Toronto, Ontario. And the question is very topical based on Canada because recently Canada legalized recreational marijuana.
What?
Yes. So...
Pass the chip on the left hand side.
So the question is, Canada just made marijuana...
Jeff, do you have an extra roach?
No, you're horrible. Canada just made marijuana legal. Does that mean it's okay for a Christian to use it recreationally or medicinally? And when that came in, I went, do I want to touch this one? Should we touch this one? But
Sure.
It's a very topical question. And in Canada, it affects the entire country. And I know in a bunch of the states, some states in the U.S. have legal marijuana. Some do not.
Well, it affects the states because apparently, well, there was that talk about if you have anything to do with it in Canada, you can't grow across
the
border.
That's right. Yes.
I know that got really out of control. But,
it did.
But it's definitely not legal in the states. And so,
right.
Yeah, it affects crossing border. Like depending, yeah, there's going to be a lot of Canadians who are sent back.
That's right.
Right.
Yes.
Because they didn't get it.
But the question on this one is it okay for a Christian?
Mm.
And so when this question first came in, my initial thought was, okay, at the end of the day, the way that they've kind of legalized marijuana within Canada is it's a controlled substance, no different than alcohol.
Right.
So it's the same argument from an alcohol standpoint. Can I drink? Can I not drink? What should I do?
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to preface it by saying, I'm not an authority. We already told you that. But I think it kind of relates to the same scriptures as the last one. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. We are under the grace of God, and he understands when we mess up. But is this something, the use of it, is it covering up? Is it a crutch? Is it being used as a way to escape something else? What is your motivation behind it? Is it just simply a curiosity thing? Is it a is it a medical need? I mean, if you got a headache, you take aspirin. Maybe the medicinal marijuana addresses your specific medical condition better than any other medicine. And so it's like, how do you weigh that?
Yeah, the fact that the government has changed the law for me, you know, if it's like speeding, if they raised the speed limit from, you know, 60 miles an hour to 80 miles an hour, are you saying, well, is it now legal for me to go 80? Well, yeah, it is. So, you know, is it now legal for me as a Christian? Yeah, it's legal for you according to the laws of the land to do that. And again, but again, it's 6:12? What verse of it? Corinthians?
1 Corinthians 6:12.
6:12, you know, but the question, again, so like it's, to me, yeah, it is legal for you as a Christian. Like, this has nothing to do necessarily, I think, with being Christian or not Christian. You're a citizen of the land, and they've said now it's okay. But to me, the issue is like, does that now something that I say I want to do as a Christian? Well, that's the same as smoking, just regular cigarettes. I mean, it's legal.
Right.
But I don't do it because I just don't think that's a very smart thing for me to do medically, health-wise. I think it's the exact same for marijuana in that regard. But then if you add the whole thing about it's a mind-altering, a mood-altering substance, well, that's a whole new issue that has nothing to do really with the law, sorry, in my opinion. And if you want to have a look and see what the effects of marijuana have with regards to schizophrenia, that might be something where you would actually consider, I think I want to stay away from that for sure. Medicinally, hey, knock yourself out. If it can use that part of the drug where it actually helps you. I have one man said the best thing he's ever had is medical marijuana. To me, that's no different than someone even having a shot of morphine in the controlled setting of the hospital in order to, you know, to take care of your pain. I mean, to me, that's a very humane thing to do. That's kind, but that's 100% different in my opinion than smoking it and on purpose to try and, you know, have an effect of a mood altering substance. No, Christ is my peace. He's the one, you know, that I want to look to for all my health, my strength, my joy, and don't feel I need to go to a drug to do that.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think the short answer is, you know, where's your heart at on it?
Yeah.
You know, really what it comes down to. And I think, you know, if my kids were asked to ask the same question because they're now growing up in a world where it's legal for them, that would be, you know, my answer for them is, where's your heart at and does it bring you closer to God?
Sure.
You know, and we'll just kind of leave that one right there.
Yeah, that's a good answer.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We got a great question coming up afterwards. You don't want to miss.
Stick around for more from New Every Day.
For a limited time, get your hands on limited edition shirts from the Category 5 TV Network. These high-quality shirts are manufactured by Teespring, a fundraising website, and your purchase will help support the shows we produce. Get yours today and send us your pictures to be featured on the corresponding show. Visit cat5.tv/shirts to support us and get your official network shirt today. cat5.tv/shirts.
Back, it is a talk back episode where you get to ask us the questions and we will hobble along trying to answer them as best as we can. So, we had a couple of good ones before the break. This
questions are good answers. They were great questions.
We'll leave that up to the people that we answer them for. Maybe they won't like the answers. But anyway, so this next question, I can tell you I struggled with it in my teen years, and it got to the point I just said, I don't know. I'm just walking away from this question because I can't wrap my head around it.
Nice.
So it was kind of neat to see this one come back, like, you know, 15,
well, we're going to take care
15,
of all
later.
Your questions.
That's
tonight.
Right.
You're going to answer it tonight.
Okay. So this one actually came in from, I'm a gamer. I play games online. This one came in from somebody that I game with. His tag is No Man's Fool. I assume it's a he. Anyway, so the question came in from No Man's Fool. and it was, how do I put heaven and hell into context where I can wrap my mind around forever? Will I be bored in heaven? Will people who get, will they get used to the fires of hell so it doesn't hurt so much? And so my first thought when I read this is it's contextualized within the confines of physical attributes of time and pain. And, you know, like the question is coming from the physical perspective, whereas we know that we're getting a whole new body when we die. And so it's going to be a whole different perspective. And so this, I struggled with this question in my teen years.
Did you?
Yeah, I really did. And I remember talking to my youth pastor about it. And he's like, look, I don't have the answer for you. I don't know.
What do you mean about the flames of hell?
Like, no, about like explain forever for me. He's like, I can't put that into context because our minds cannot wrap around the idea of forever. We can go, oh, forever is like, it's a long time. No, forever is forever. Like it's not ending. And so when I got, when I try and picture myself in heaven forever, it's like, well, what am I going to, like in a million years, what am I going to, what about trillion years? Like, I'm still there. But heaven is not based on years. It's forever. So great question.
Yeah, that is.
No man's fool. We're going to try and answer it for you. And I don't even know where to start.
Well, okay, thanks. I'll tell you what, I'm just reading the question here with you. You stirred me. That these are great insights. I've never even considered asking this question.
Okay.
And the reason why I say that is I'm glad that you did, and to hear that you relate to it is awesome. And now I'm right in the thick of it with you. And so again, I'm loving these questions. No man's fool, thank you. I'll tell you what, I'll dive in and tell you this. Will people get used to the fires of hell? Nope. No, they won't.
Okay.
It, like, and certainly, as it says, so that it doesn't hurt as much? No. No, the Bible is clear, and it tells us that the angst, that the pain, the suffering, and in particular, would you hear this? The definition of hell, you could say this, is the separation from God. That's what hell is. It's like, what? Like even now, the Bible says that we are now living in an earth where the restraining influence is keeping the powers of hell from, well, here's the phrase, from all hell breaking loose. Why isn't that happening? Because God himself is not allowing that to happen. It's called the restraining influence. It doesn't actually say what it is, but I believe it's the Holy Spirit who basically is saying, hang on a second here, it's not time. There's a day coming when the Holy Spirit, we read, is going to remove his restraint. And literally, this all hell's going to break loose. And we read about it where there's going to be mayhem on the earth and pain and suffering and longing and people crying. And there's gnashing of teeth is the way that we can't, again, I like how you said, because we're confined to our finite minds now. And even the question for all of eternity means that we will spend it in a different, at least the people of God, will be changed in a glorified body. That's another thing. But to wrap our minds around hell and gnashing of teeth, the Bible is very clear and says that will never, ever subside. Now, it's easier for me to wrap my mind around it. Certainly, like, we won't get used to it because separation from God is so profound. It's something that we cannot ever possibly do without. And yet that's what hell is.
Right.
It's eternal damnation, the Bible says. Ooh, that's heavy.
As you're talking, kind of what's running through my head is, you know, hell to me, the best way I can conceptualize it is the absence of God. And God is everything that is good.
That's exactly right.
So you remove all that is good and that is hell. So the idea that relief from pain is good, that's not going to happen in hell.
That's correct.
So you think about all those things that are good, where you're like, oh, just that momentary release. I mean, there's the story in the Bible where the guy goes, you know, one goes to heaven, one goes to hell, and he sees Abraham. He's like, just a drip of water on my tongue. He's like, no, sorry, not going to happen. There's no relief for you. There is no goodness, and that is hell. But then you got the flip side. If God is good, he's everything good, that's heaven. How can you get bored with everything that is good? Boredom in and of itself is the absence of being excited. So therefore, you're never going to get bored. when I think about it that way.
Well, okay, this is so cool too. In heaven, now you're talking. Like, yeah. You took me there. We've been translated, if you will. The Bible says in Thessalonians that in the twinkling of an eye, like, what is that? You know, and this is like lickety split, real fast.
Right.
It says our bodies are going to be changed. And so, Jeff, what is it? What percentage of the brain does a person use? I don't know.
I've heard it's up to 10%, but I think that's like maybe extremely smart.
Okay, so even just call, let's just say for the sake of a point being made, which is accurate, single digit percentage we use of our brains. Well, when we are changed in an instant by God, those of us who have called on his name, those of us who know Christ as our Savior, our sins are forgiven, we are his kids. The Bible says that one day he's going to snatch us up and to be with him forever. But these bodies aren't going to spend eternity in heaven. We are going to be changed and we're going to have brand new bodies renewed. Like, oh my goodness, pristine. What? That includes the renewal of our brain. Imagine from going from, you call it 10% to 100% use of our brain. Oh my goodness.
That's like the physical brain.
Well, yeah. And that's the physical. Exactly. So we will recognize each other.
Yeah.
There won't be marriage in heaven, it says, because we'll be married to God, if you will. Like, we, right, his bride. He's the bridegroom. And forever and ever, we'll be worshiping him. Jeff, there's one passage of scripture also in Revelation. And it says, when the elders would see God and they would bow down and worship the Lord, and seraphim and angels, they would catch a glimpse of who he was and they would bow down over and over and over, and they would cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And they would, "Holy, holy, holy." And I remember reading years ago, one author saying one of the reasons why they do that is because every time they see God again or catch a glimpse or, you know, interact with who he is, there's a brand new part of his being that causes them just to worship and adore him in a brand new facet, because he's beyond our searching out.
So,
oh my goodness, this is eternity. This is what God calls us to as friends, as family. Welcome, welcome into your reward, those of you who trusted in me as your Lord and Savior.
That's good. And you know what's funny? As I'm listening to all this, I'm like, yeah, I'm good to go. We still haven't answered the question of how do you wrap your mind around forever? And quite frankly, I don't think we can.
Yeah.
I don't think we can, but I think we've kind of hit the crux of the issue is the polarizing nature of heaven and hell. And I think, you know, we're running out of time. We gotta land the plane and bring this home. But I think the most important thing to say is make sure you're not going to hell.
Yeah.
And so before we leave, no man's fool. Thank you for your question. I don't know if we've been able to answer it in a way that satisfies you, but I think the question for us back to you is, where are you going? And you don't want to leave that to question, because at the end of the day, literally, you may not be here, or maybe you'll be here in another 10 years. You don't know when your life is going to expire.
My brother's wife, she just passed away.
Oh, did she?
Unexpectedly. Yeah. And so, Jeff, that's me just agreeing. We don't know that my wife is a nurse, and she's dealing with people who pass away. Some expect, unexpectedly. Some, it's where we know because there's an illness. It's just a matter of time. But nobody knows the day or the hour.
That's right. And you don't want to leave that to chance. So if you're watching, maybe you didn't ask a question. But I think the question we want to ask you is, are you saved? Are you going to heaven? Is that where your eternity lies? And if you don't know the answer, or maybe you do and you're saying, yeah, the answer is no, you have the opportunity right now to make a decision and to say, Christ, I want to be with you. God, I want to be in heaven. And it's a simple change. It's a simple acceptance of who Christ is. If you're okay with it, if we can just take 30 seconds, what they call the sinner's prayer. It's just simply saying, God, I surrender to you. And so, Heavenly Father, we thank you for
Lord.
Today. We thank you for these questions we've received from all across North America. Lord, would you take these questions? Would you change lives as a result of them? And Lord, would you be the answer to the questions that people have? And for those who are watching, Lord, would you touch their hearts? And if you're watching and you want to accept Christ, it's a simple, Lord, I give you my life. I surrender to you. I want you to be the authority in everything that I am and do, and I want to be with you in heaven. Let us know if you just prayed that prayer. Let us know if you've given your life to Christ. And congratulations, you're in. Welcome to the family, if that's the case. And if you're still thinking about it, don't take too much
time. We don't have everything figured out. It's okay. In fact, we can bring God our questions as well, and let us know what he says to you as you search it all out. What a fascinating day this is.
That's good. But we're out of time, so we got to take off. We will see you next week.
Bye. Catch a new episode of New Every Day every Friday morning at neweveryday.tv. We're also on Roku, Kodi, Plex, YouTube, Google Play Music Podcasts, and Facebook. Or if you're in Southern California, tune in every Sunday morning at 6:30 on KBVB-TV Channel 33, television for the high desert.